Yeah, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Central. Now, last week I shared how the lifted up, raised up, and taken up Christ gave liftoff to a movement that would birth the church. Now, recognizing a number of you are new to Central and also the vision leaks, what I want to do today is I want to talk about God's design for the church. I want to talk about the inspirational purpose that God has for his church in the world. The series that we're launching today is called Space, Visible and Invisible. And there's nothing as inspirational as space, right? I'm told that 86% of children would like to go to space. 86%. Now, if money were no object, okay, how many of you would take a trip to space with me? Okay, quite a few of us. And have you ever stopped to think about why that is? Why is space so fascinating? A guy by the name of Michael Griffin, he's an engineer with NASA, was awarded with this big award, and he gave this speech. You can look up the speech if you'd like. It's really interesting because he talks about what we call the real reasons for space exploration and the acceptable reasons. See, the acceptable reasons are the reasons that NASA needs to give to the government and to all of these businesses out there to make them give funds for space exploration. But he says no astronaut really gets involved with space for the acceptable reasons. He says that there's a real reason that motivates little kids to become astronauts to go into space. And what's fascinating, he says, is if we follow those real reasons, the acceptable reasons always get done. Why is space exploration so fascinating? Sir Edmund Hillary was a New Zealand explorer and a mountaineer. And on the 29th of May, 1953, Hillary, together with the Sherpa mountaineer Tenzing Norgay, became the first people to have been confirmed to have reached the summit of Mount Everest. Hillary was often asked why he did it. One time he said, because Everest is there. Great reason to climb it, right? But another time he said, nobody climbs mountains for scientific reasons. Yes, science is used to raise money for the expeditions, but you really climb? His words, not mine, for the hell of it. Now, Hillary may well have climbed Mount Everest because it was there, but the task was so daunting that he had to plan for it. While it's true that he just wanted to do it, he needed to plan. And I believe that what is true for climbing mountains is also true for exploring space. You have to plan for it. What do you need in order to explore space? Now, if you think about it, there's a few things we need, right? Firstly, we need to have the right people. As much as I may want to go to space, you don't put people like me in a spaceship. At least not without an astronaut, somebody who's been called, who's been trained, who's been equipped to actually do it. Secondly, you need the right tools. You need spaceships. You need suits. Thirdly, you need the right support structures. You need life support systems, and you certainly need mission control. At Central, we make space for the church. That's basically what we do. By providing local pastors who lead local churches in strategic places around our planet with the right tools and the right support structures, we are intentional about building outposts for Christ's kingdom across this planet. That's what we do. We create space for the church. Some of you may well still ask, but Craig, why? Back to Sir Edmund Hillary. Hillary said that he never actually had a vision when he was young to climb Everest. He said it just grew. See, Hillary discovered that he loved climbing mountains, so guess what he did? He just climbed mountains. And the vision for climbing Everest grew out of his love for climbing. What's the point here? Love always gives birth to vision. And as you do what you love, then the vision often grows into something you could never have imagined when you simply started doing what you love. The reason that we do what we do, the reason that at Central we take it very seriously to make space for the church, is for the very simple reason we love the church. We love the church. We love the people that lead churches. We love the nation that we're in. We love the world that we're a part of. When we started this vision of being this family of churches in different places, all across our nation, all across our world, we never expected, certainly I never expected, it to become as significant as it has become right now. Last week, over 10,000 people participated in worship in one of our family of churches. Over 10,000 people. But I want to tell you this. We never set out to build a movement to make a space for the church that would be that large. All we did is we set out to love the church. That's it. We set out to show our love to the church and to the people who lead them. If you're new to Central and you want to know our heart, it's really that simple. We make space for the church. In short, the church is God's visible and invisible space. The church is. Now, when I say we make space for the church, I want to be abundantly clear what I mean and what I do not mean. More than 100 different terms, metaphors, and images are used to describe in the New Testament, God's people. The church is not a building. The church is a people. The church is a group of people who have entered into a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The church is a people, not a building. Now, the word the New Testament uses for the church is that word ekklesia. It refers to a gathering, an assembly of people. We make space for local leaders to lead local churches where God's people are gathered in Christ and are scattered for Christ into the world. That's the purpose God had in mind. To put it theologically, the church is both invisible and visible. It is universal and it is local. It is a living organism that requires organization to be fruitful. That's the church. Now, to help you understand why the church is so important both to God and to us, I want to do what we would call a basic lesson in ecclesiology today, which is the doctrine of the church. I just want to talk about the church. Because there are a lot of people who actually think you don't need to go to church to follow Jesus. How do you not need to be with the people of God to follow Jesus? The church is not a building. And guess what? A Bible study in a coffee shop is not the church. There are specific functions that the church is called to partake in. Yes, praying and studying the scriptures may be two of them, but there is a whole load more that you will never be able to do in a coffee shop. God has a purpose for his church. And so we make space for God's church. I want to talk about that, and to do it, I'm going to use an acrostic for that word space. It begins with this. The reason church is so important to us, the reason we love the church, is because Scripture testifies to its importance. For us, it's all about scriptural integrity. Everything we do has to be driven by the Scriptures. Have a look at this verse, Romans 16:5, very simple, right? Greet also the church that meets at their house. What do you see here? Well, firstly, you should see that this verse differentiates between the people who are the church and the physical structure in which the church meets. The church meets in a building, but the building is not the church. Oh, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. The church is not a building. Do you need to meet with God's people doing what God has commanded to be a Christian? Yes, you do. So that's where we start. Secondly, Scripture declares the building of the church, shared about that a few months ago, to be a critical mission of Christ himself. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus says this, "And I tell you that you are Peter," after Peter confesses Christ, "and on this rock I will build." The church is not planted, the church is built. Planters plant and go away. Builders stay and move the pieces around. "I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." The word Jesus uses to describe his building is not synagogue, which means fellowship. He's not building a fellowship. He's building an ecclesia. He's building a gathering. He's building an assembling. Jesus chooses that word intentionally. It had overtones in its day. Jesus had in mind a people who gathered for a divine purpose. He had in mind a gathering of people committed to doing what God wanted done, but God's people had not done. That gathered church was a new body tasked with carrying out what other believers had not yet done. Now, Jesus, to make it clear, did not intend for his church to take over a geographic plot of land. That's what God's people at that point in time wanted, expulsion over the Romans, but it didn't happen. That's not what God wanted. It's not a geographic plot of land by warfare. Nor did he want them to be a religious group that separated from everyone else and isolated themselves until God's work was done, until Christ would come again. No, he wanted them to build a kingdom that would both defy and transcend the political boundaries and the religious expectations of this world. Jesus chose that word, ecclesia, gathering, not fellowship, because the word had political and spatial overtones in the day. It meant the people who were gathered were marching to the beat of his drum in his name, just as citizens of a city or of a country would gather, ecclesia, would assemble at the orders of a religious or a political leader, so too God's people would gather at his command. And so we create space for the church because this is what Scripture calls us to do. This church has a visible element to it. Take a look. This is the visible element, not the room, the people. That's the visible. But this gathering leads to what we would call the church invisible. This is where the P and the A in this acrostic comes in. The gathered church prioritizes Christ's rule and reign. The church prioritizes the rule and reign of Jesus. Look at the way Paul describes this in Ephesians chapter 1. "That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but in the one to come." Do you notice that? There are names that are invoked as having power in this world, and there is a name that is invoked as having power in the gathered church. That's the name of Jesus. And God placed all things, all of this power, all of this authority under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. You see, God gathered and placed everything under Christ. And when we gather as the church visibly, we are testifying that all authority and power has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are remembering and celebrating the invisible rule of Christ, that he is over all things and he rules over all things. passages like Hebrews 12:23, note that one down if you're taking notes, go look at it at home, make it clear that this gathering that we have has these heavenly overtones. That passage talks about the assembly, the ecclesia of the firstborn. See, this isn't a gathering of a group of ethnic people who may be connected ethnically or even gender. This is a gathering of people who are connected because we share Jesus Christ in common. We are the gathering of the firstborn. And even though heaven is the goal of every Christian, Hebrews 13:14, after we come to Christ, there is a sense in which we have already come to that heavenly gathering. You see, in other words, what Hebrews is saying is that this physical gathering here has global and cosmic connotations. Every time we gather here and we celebrate the Lordship of Jesus, we are making a powerful proclamation to the principalities and powers, the world invisible, that heavenly realm that all authority has been placed under Jesus Christ. Tell me, can you do that at home? You can testify at home, but the power of the gathered church is that a group of people are gathering together to declare no earthly ruler has the authority that has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is an outpost that testifies to the significance of Christ's rule and reign. That leads us to the next point. As a result of this, because we gather to acknowledge Christ's rule and reign, this results in an outflow. The outflow of this is that we commit to advance that kingdom mindset, or we could say to advance that kingdom agenda. That's what we do. When we gather, we're reminded of the kingdom mandate and the mindset required to carry out what we believe to be true about Jesus. See, the kingdom is the rule and the reign of God. That rule and reign is experienced perfectly in heaven, but we want it to be experienced more fully in the world in which we live. Where does that begin? It begins by his rule and reign being experienced more fully in our own lives first. The kingdom of heaven is within you, Jesus says. What is the point of that? The lordship and the rule and reign of Christ that we gather to reflect and celebrate is ultimately manifested in our own life as the areas of our own brokenness and fallenness are basically transformed through the resurrection power of Christ. We gather here acknowledging Christ's rule and reign, but also we gather here to advance that rule and reign, and we do it as we allow Christ to make us more like him through the work of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom that is within us then has the power to flow from within us to touch the world around us. This is what Paul came to see. Look at this scripture, Ephesians chapter 3. I love this because of the way it begins. Paul says, although I am less than the least of God's people. Why did he say that? He said that because when he met Jesus, Acts 9, he was persecuting God's people. And Jesus appeared to him in a vision. He says, the resurrected Jesus appeared to me. And Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the people of Jesus. But Jesus so identifies with his people who are suffering that if they are persecuted, he is persecuted. And in this moment, he realizes he is so fallen and so broken, and that's why the next part is so good, because that was my state. The moment I accepted Christ's rule and lordship and prioritized it in my life, grace was given to me. This grace was given to me. He acknowledged his own brokenness. Grace was given to him. What happens when grace is given to us and transforms us? This happens. He went and preached to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Why? His intent was that now, what? Through the what? Not the building. the gathered assembled people through the church. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to what? The world invisible, the principalities, the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church invisible, church visible. Paul preached in the visible, but he did it because the invisible is also there. A guy called Lehman, in his work on the church, brings this visible and the invisible together in a really powerful way. Lehman says this: the gathering of a church is both an embassy of Christ's kingdom and a temporary geography of that kingdom. We gather in order to represent heaven's rule and judgments, to establish a visible outpost of Christ's kingdom, to testify to the king, to identify citizens of the kingdom, to form a people, to mobilize a people, to exalt the king. Do you do that at home alone? No. This is the church. This is the gathered church. The church is a visible outpost for the kingdom of God that gathers a people who've acknowledged his lordship, who submit to his rule, who are changed to become more like him, and then are empowered by that spirit to extend his rule and reign to everyone they see and everyone they touch. The church. Once you understand this as the basis for the church, I think you understand why it's central we do what we do. I think you understand why at Central we love the church so much. Because Jesus does. That leads to, in the New Testament, this, and this is what we do, to champion local churches. Our love for the church is based on scriptural integrity. It's based on prioritizing Christ's rule and reign. It's based on this understanding that we are to advance that kingdom mindset wherever we go, and that results in local churches being championed. Now, what is local church? It's not a building, right? It's a gathering of people under the leadership of a local leader for a divine purpose, to be an outpost for Christ's kingdom where they are. Now, when I make space for Christ's rule and reign, the outworking of that is it involves me committing to a local church as an outpost of God's kingdom. I commit to it as an ambassador for that kingdom. Remember, while the kingdom is not political, it does impact the world in which it actually resides. It impacts the area in which it is placed. Chronologically, the first use of ecclesia as a local church occurs in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. This is what we read there. Chronologically, this is the first use. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians. Now notice this, this is important. In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To the ecclesia of the Thessalonians. Ecclesia is used here in the same way it would have been by Jews and Greeks in the day. It describes an assembly in a city, Thessalonica. And what makes the Thessalonian gathering so different to all of the other ecclesias in that city is that this gathering of people was done in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes it different. This is the local church gathering in a specific place and a specific leadership for a specific purpose. And so I say it again, at Central, our vision is to create visible spaces, outposts for Christ's kingdom in strategic places around the world as the Lord leads. Why do we do that? We do it because we love the church. We do it because the church, if it is the church, has to be visible as well as practice the invisible. Now, we've pursued this intentionally over the last 6 years, and this is our visible spaces. We've made space for the church in different places around the world. Make no mistake, all of these are churches. Now, I want to point this out. There is only one legal entity for the domestic locations in the United States. There's one legal entity, that is Central Wesleyan Church. There's only one legal entity. but there is 7, soon to be 8, domestic locations and 13 around the world. Now, why is that so important? What makes a church is not the legal standing before men, but obedience to the scriptural qualifications and the scriptural cause before God. There's only one legal entity, Central Wesleyan Church, but there are local churches meeting, gatherings of people meeting under designated appointed leadership in strategic places around the world. In other words, what's unique about the spaces that we create for the church is that we are founded on scriptural integrity, that each of these churches functions as a church according to what the scriptures say, but we use that foundation of the scriptures and we place around it the supporting frame of legalities that enable us to provide those tools and those support systems to these pastors where they are, that enables them to do more efficiently. In other words, we recognize that we can be one family of churches while having lots of churches. All of our locations fulfill the scriptural definition of the church. If I had time, I would tell you that a local church does 7 things. That's why you can meet as Christians in a coffee shop, but you don't do 7 things when you do that. That's why you're not in a church, but an expression of the ministry of the church. All of our churches do these things, but we are one legal entity. We make space for the church. Why? Because we champion the church. We are faithful to the scriptures while using the legal framework to support it. Did you know that all of this really began in earnest 5 years ago? 5 years ago today, the local church in Grand Rapids was launched. Some of you have been here that long will remember we had Pastor Tarn, Pastor Jordan was the worship pastor here, and then we sent them together with 55 people to launch the local church in Grand Rapids. That was 5 years ago today. Last weekend, there were 800 people. They baptized loads of people, and many people came to faith in Jesus Christ. We make space for the church. We make space for the church. More than that, our newest location is The Well with Pastor Chris and Holly Brown. Chris will come in a couple of weeks and share the message here. But last weekend, they were 800 people, baptized people, saw a number of people come to faith in Jesus Christ. We make space for the church. That's what we do. Now, in all of these places, people will never hear the name of Central. The great thing is we can go into those services and they won't even know who we are. But why do they need to know us? All they need to know is Jesus and what their mission is. We make space for the church. 3 years ago, we started this. We expanded this into San Diego. That was a big move. Last weekend, there were 1,600 people and 77 people put their faith in Jesus Christ. We make space for the church. Now again, when we started this years ago, we didn't start this with all of these numbers in mind and all of this bigness in mind. We started this because we love the church. And we recognized the call that God had placed on the right people who were connected to our church. And so we committed to do what we needed to do to restructure in order to provide these gifted, called, set-apart people with the right tools and the right structures that they needed to be the church where God had called them. And what we're seeing is that God is working. Friends, God works when a local church recognizes the mandate that Jesus gives to his church and does the work it needs to do to provide the resources for other people to be the church in strategic places in the world. When that's the heartbeat of a church, God always protects his church. We love the church. And because we love the church, we champion the church. Now, what happens when this kind of growth starts to happen? I think the next thing starts to happen, wrapping up here, is the E. Regional movements are established. Again, you see this in the New Testament. There's a number of scriptures that you can look at there. Now, what amazes me is that this move of God that we've seen because we make space for the church actually started long before this modern move that we launched 5 years ago today. It actually started with the fall of communism in 1991. And that's when the leaders of the day decided that the right thing to do was to invest in an indigenous leader, a local leader, who wanted to start a local church in a strategic place around the world. And that was Peter Marchenko. You've seen him there. He was in San Francisco with his daughters. He flew back, landed in Warsaw, traveled across Ukraine, and bless God, he arrived safely to lead the Easter services that happened earlier today. Peter Marchenko. Now, that one church, we've partnered with them for over 30 years. Some people are looking at the Ukraine right now. We've been there for 30 years, and we will be there long after many of them are not thinking about the Ukraine, because that's what partnership does. But this one church, guess what, has now planted 13 churches. Out of this one church, there is now this regional movement that is impacting that entire city of Kiev and is branching ever further outwards. What that does for us is that now we are working with Peter, and we are working with Peter and the leaders of Transformation Church to help them reconfigure all of their tools and all of their structures so that they can do for other churches what we have done for them. The first step in that has been to welcome three more of those churches that are ready for this into our Water's Edge Ukraine family. And what we're seeing is that this regional move of God is being established. Again, we see this in the scriptures. Two scriptures for you. Have a look at this one, Galatians 1:2. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the what? Churches in Galatia. Friends, we are a family of churches. A number of people say we are one church in many locations. Huh? Churches. Denominations will often talk about their churches in their denomination as the church. Sorry, we don't see evidence of that. The church, when it multiplies, becomes churches. Now, this is not a typo or an outlier. Look at this. For you, brothers and sisters, become imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered for your own people the same thing those churches suffer from the Jews. Churches, churches. See, when one group of people starts to prioritize what's important to God, and God starts to bless it, because God always blesses the church with a missional heart. Now, sometimes that will be through sacrifice. Sometimes a church that exists in one place will ultimately not exist, but it gives birth to other churches as communities develop. I could spend more time on that. But the reality is, when God works in the heart of a local church and that ministry expands, what you see in the New Testament are these regional movements. And so when we started this, our goal was simple. We said to Pastor Torrin, here's what we want from you. This is what we expect. We expect you to do for others what we have done for you. That's it. We don't expect anything more than for you to have the commitment to do for others what we have done for you. And so Pastor Torrin with his leaders are already talking about, how do we do the next step? And they're growing to that point. Paul refers to churches. We want to see regional movements. Now, sometimes this regional movement is something that we start. Sometimes God connects us with a ministry that is already seeing a work of God, and we don't need to start it. We need to join with it. We don't have to do everything on our own. Sometimes we can partner with other people. One of my passion areas is the unengaged and the unreached people groups of this world. That's why we're in Cambodia. That's why we're in Indonesia. A few months ago, we were connected with a ministry that works with an unreached and unengaged people group, and we became aware of a need they had. They had started this elementary school, but they needed a secondary school. And so, because of the generosity of this church, even in a global pandemic, when people were kind of hunkering down, not only did we start a domestic location, another church, and invest heavily in that, we also invested $75,000 just recently to build the first secondary school in a remote region of the Himalayas in an unreached people group area. It's amazing. Now, This school is going to be built as an extension of an existing primary school. It's going to provide all of the additional educational opportunities to children from all of these surrounding villages. Now, you're going to ask Craig, where is it? I can't tell you. That's the whole point. Now, in May, we hope to be able to have someone here that we'll be able to interview, and if you want to ask them, that person more, you can, but I can't tell you. He might, I can't. Now, the funding that we're going to provide covers all of the construction of this new school. This school will serve an unreached people group that has never heard the gospel. Think about that. Indigenous local leaders can do things that many times we can't. And though we can't directly share the gospel, there are churches in the nearby villages, students of believers, and we know that there's a move of God in this region, and we wanted to make space for this movement. And the presence of this school will continue to create new opportunities for sharing the love of Christ in a missionally strategic part of the world. Now, again, we hope to share more, but at this point, for security reasons, that's all I can share. But again, when we have been blessed, what we do when you love the church is that you make room for a regional move of God. That's what you want. You know, God doesn't save one person in a household just for them. He saves one person to reach a family. He saves a family to reach a neighborhood. He changes a neighborhood to reach a community. He changes a community to reach a town. And this is the way it goes. Sometimes we don't need to start it. We just need to join with it. And it's just amazing to think that from right here in Holland, we will be reaching people that we will never know in places that we will never go, but one time soon we will be worshiping with those people we have blessed because we simply loved the church. Now, sometimes we do get to the point of being able to start something new or join something new in a new way. And in that, I'm going to wrap up with this. I'm just thrilled to be able to say that one of the things that we've been praying for is that we recognize that we need a presence in the Spanish-speaking world. We recognize that that was a hole. And so we have been praying for a number of years for this, and it's my privilege to announce to you today that we have sensed a move of God that has led us to partner with Pastor Sebastian and Debbie as they lead a church in Lima in Peru. Now, this is an exciting opportunity. This church is, again, a younger leader who basically wanted to join a family of churches to be a part of a family committed to just being that regional outpost where God had placed them. Now, this is exciting. We're hoping you'll be able to get to meet Sebastian and Debbie in person. Hopefully, as COVID restrictions lift, we'll be able to bring them in. But for now, I want to encourage you to take a look to the screen as Pastor Corey and I introduce you to Pastor Sebastian and Debbie from Lima, the newest expression of Waters Edge International, and just another sign that we really do love the local church. Take a look at this.
Waters Edge, a family of churches started by Central Wesleyan Church, has grown to include churches not only across West Michigan, but has expanded across the United States with a total of 7 domestic locations. Over the past few years, God has allowed our family to continue to grow internationally with locations in Bogor, Indonesia, Phnom Penh, Cambodia, Kingston, Jamaica, and Kyiv, Ukraine. Today, we are excited to announce our newest international location, which expands our family of churches not just to a new city or country, but an entirely new continent. God has opened the door for us to welcome our newest campus on the continent of South America in the capital city of Lima, Peru. Peru is a vast and dynamic country with habitats ranging from the arid plains of the Pacific coastal region to the peaks of the Andes Mountains to the tropical Amazon rainforest in the east. The majority of its people can be found in its capital city, Lima, with a population of roughly 10 million people. We are excited to welcome Iglesia La Ciudad, the City Church Lima, into our family of churches. Led by Pastor Sebastian and his wife Debbie Allen Castre, Iglesia La Ciudad ministers in the heart of Lima in the district of Miraflores. While reaching hundreds of Peruvians in the city center, the church also ministers in some of the most impoverished areas around the city, bringing supplies, financial support, and the hope and life of Jesus to those in need.
Hey, Central Church family, I'm here in Peru with Pastor Sebastian and his wife Debbie, and we are with the leaders of our newest international location, and it is a privilege to be here. Hey, Sebastian, just tell us a little bit about where we are right now and what's going on.
Hello, my name is Pastor Sebastian. This is my wife. My English is good, but I try speak in English, okay? Okay, no, in Spanish, okay. Bueno, estamos trabajando aquí en la ciudad de Manchay.
So we're here in Manchay, we're working here.
Y venimos trabajando 4 años.
This is our fourth year here.
Entonces nuestra iglesia aquí en Lima está comprometida con esta comunidad.
Our church in Lima is compromised with Manchay Church.
Y en 4 años Dios ha hecho cosas maravillosas.
And God has done incredible things.
Así que bueno, los invito a sumarse.
So I invite you to come.
A que nos conozcan más.
To know us more.
Y conozcan un poco lo que Dios está haciendo aquí en Lima.
And to know a little bit more of what God is doing here in Lima.
Les mandamos un abrazo fuerte.
Big hug for you guys.
Tienen una familia aquí.
You have a family here.
On behalf of our Water's Edge family of churches, thank you to each and every one of you for your prayers, generosity, and support. As we continue to follow Jesus into new spaces and places, no matter what obstacles we may face, we know that together with His power, there is nothing our God can't do.